Thank you all for being here tonight. We are grateful to you for responding so quickly to our call to come out and witness today to another example of why we need to have systematic change now. We need to put an end to brutality that is committed in the name of law enforcement. And we are so grateful that you are here, that we are all here to affirm the importance of Black lives and the importance of gathering in solidarity. We're going to take some time to hear from a number of the leaders from the faith community who have gathered here today. And I'm Reverend Leslie Takahashi. I'm really grateful to all of you for being here. I want to turn this over to BK Woodson to open us in prayer.
Thank you, everybody. I am Sergeant BK Woodson, Sr. I am the Director of Clergy Development for Faith in Action East Bay. I'm a Black man, father of three Black men and one Black daughter. Thank you for being here. I'll say more later, but can we pray? Almighty God, until Black lives matter, God's life doesn't matter. Until Black lives matter, no lives matter. Until we find a way to live in peace, there will only be war and strife. Until we find a way to be guided by love, we will be driven into chaos by confusion. God, it's time for us to move. God, it's time for you to move with us, either behind us or in front of us. But we have to change. The ugly, painful, violent, deadly now into the hopeful, peaceful, joyful world you intend. In your many names and the one you like best, that I don't know. Amen.
Thank you. So we are gathered here today because of an incident of violence that occurred. This town has been full of protests this week. We have seen many protests that have happened in Walnut Creek this week. And on Monday, there was a protest in which there was an incident that we will talk about in a minute. But why it is important for us all to be here today is that we know that police brutality is a systemic problem that we have been addressing in this county for many years, and we have not managed to address it. We know that for every 28 hours, a Black person's life is ended through law enforcement. We know that disproportionately law enforcement affects Black and brown lives. So when we have incidents of police brutality, law enforcement brutality within our cities, within our county, we must call them out because we know who will be disproportionately affected by this. I want to quote Reverend Ben McBride, who says that 94% of police time is spent with 6% of the population, specifically the Black and brown population. And so it is so important for us to be here today to say that we need an end to this kind of violence. And we are all here today to ask for that. I'm going to ask, we're going to hear a little bit about what has happened, a statement that is going to be read by. So first I'll go to by Maddie Tuning.
Hello, everybody. Many of you probably saw on the front of a San Francisco Chronicle's article about the protests that happened this Monday, an image of a young woman blood pouring down her face, being pushed against a fence by the police. That was my sister. She would prefer to be here in person to tell this herself, but she's currently in the hospital, still recovering. So I will be reading her words. My name is Sarah Tooning, and I am the girl who got shot with what we think was a piece of a rubber bullet in Walnut Creek on June 1st. I'm making this post because it is important to me to point out that my injury is not about me. I went out on the first to document peaceful protests and happened to get caught in the crossfire. Do not make this about me. This is still about the way black and brown people are treated in this country. People of color do not have the support networks that white people have. They have more difficulty getting decent health care. They are less likely to have immediately available support systems, if any at all. They are less likely to have the money to cover an ambulance ride, and at the same time, less likely to be offered a ride to the hospital by a stranger. If they even get to a place where they can call an ambulance, they're more likely to be arrested, regardless of injury. They're more likely to be mishandled, beaten to death, or otherwise treated in a way that leads to their death in custody. If they make it to the hospital, the bill is more likely to drown them in medical debt. They may have to choose to go without treatment so they can pay rent and bills, potentially leaving them with lifelong pain, which in turn could keep them from working, which pushes them further into poverty. If they do choose to seek medical care, they are more likely to have their pain dismissed. Not to mention, they are more likely to be treated with a lack of respect and a whole lot of bias. Once they've gotten care, they, again, are less likely to have a support network to care for them as they experience the pain, discomfort, and fear caused by head injuries. People of color in this country are killed on a regular basis. For every George Floyd, there is another human being killed in the streets, in police custody, through lack of health care, and through the medical issues caused simply by the stress of existing as a person of color in this nation. If the police and National Guard feel comfortable shooting a tiny white girl in the head, well, we've seen what they feel comfortable doing to black or brown people, haven't we? I'm not sure yet if I'll be taking any legal action, but if I do, I'm fortunate to have a family friend who is a lawyer, which is a huge privilege. If any money comes to me because of this, I will donate 100% of it to organizations helping people of color. I will be contacting the journalists who shared my image, the mayor and chief of police of Walnut Creek, and will happily talk to anyone else who wants to hear from me. I will be slow about it because I am recovering from a head injury and my brain feels slow and stupid. What is happening to people of color in the streets should outrage you. You, as a white person, should be taking their issues personally. This should inspire you to take to the streets, to donate to bail funds and justice organizations. This should inspire you to talk to your children about how to treat people of color. This should inspire you to speak out when your family members say something racist, because it's possible not to be a racist and still have internal biases. It is not enough to be not racist. You must actively stand against racism. White silence is violence against people of color. If you are not speaking out, you are, however inadvertently, condoning violence against people of color. I know this is not comfortable. It's not always comfortable to me, but it is so, so, so important. Sarah has also asked that at this point, I read the names of people of color who have lost their lives to police brutality. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to read all of those names, but I will read what I can. Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, George Floyd, Yolanda Thomas, Xavier Tyrell Johnson, Daryl Banks, Cedric Chapman,
Quentin Barksdale. Javis Benjamin. Donovan Thomas. Anthony Dwayne Harris. Charles Baker Jr. Clinton Allen. Willie Lee Bingham Jr. Russell Lydell Smith. Dylan Samuel Peters. Dason Peters. Craig Dimps. Fred Bradford Jr. Clifton Armstrong. Dion Flood. Kendra Diggs. Marlon Brown. Jermaine Darden. Terry Lafitte. Julian Dawkins. Bill Jackson. Of this list that I am looking at now, that is less than 1/10 of the names. And that is a tiny fraction of a percentage of the black people who have lost their lives due to law enforcement and due to systems of oppression in this country and across the world for hundreds of years.
Thank you, Maddie. I want to thank Maddie and the Tuning family for being here. And we all send our prayers and hopes to Sarah, who is in the hospital tonight down in Kaiser. So we're thinking of her. We also, though, want to respect her wishes and the reason why she was injured, which was she was injured in expressing her desire to live in a world where people do not have to fear for their life doing the ordinary actions of every day. So I'm going to ask my other clergy colleagues who are here, they're going to offer some prayers and words. And as we do so, we're going to do so in the larger context, which is ensuring that we can live in a world in which Black lives matter. And that is the reason that we are gathered here, the larger reason we are here, the reason that Sarah was here on Monday and was injured. So we want to do that. I also want to say that we do that knowing that in this county, we have been raising these issues for many, many years, many, many years. That a year ago, a task force, a racial justice task force, talked about the problems of racial discrimination and violence within the systems of Sheriff Livingston, and we continue to have those problems today, as we saw in Clayton, as we've seen throughout this week. So we want to understand that larger context and offer our words and prayers in that context. I'm going to turn to Reverend Will McGarvey of the Interfaith Council of Contra Costa. I'm trading phones and shoes, apparently.
Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Will McGarvey. I'm the Executive Director of the Interfaith Council. I'm also a part of the Faith in Action clergy team that's here today, and co-convener of the Multi-Faith Action Coalition. There have been over 1,500 deaths of African Americans at the hands of police since 2015. Those are just the ones that they will count. It doesn't count the ones that they won't. And so as we're here today, we're also remembering that just over a year ago, a young man named Miles Hall, a citizen of this city, was murdered by Walnut Creek police officers, even after his mother had notified the police department that he was having a mental health episode that day. We don't know what got in the way of the communication, but or why the officer felt like he had to shoot Miles in his own neighborhood on a cul-de-sac from dozens of yards away. But we know that this is a systemic problem in this city and in this county, and it has to end now. We will not accept anything less than valuing every single citizen of this county. And if that means that we have to ask for the cessation of funds against this police department, then that might mean what it takes. Because it doesn't seem as if anything else has changed the actions.
We've heard of no change in policies in the last year. We've heard of no change in the communication policies. We don't know why. There's not been any real answer to the question for the Miles Hall family and his parents, who had a wonderful celebration of his life online just a couple days ago on the one-year anniversary. But we know that this is a systemic issue here in this city, and it's a systemic issue all over our country. And when some folks try to understand why this is happening, it goes all the way back to slavery. It goes all the way back to legalized discrimination and chattel ownership of one group of people by another group of people. And the discrimination has to end, and the police brutality against anyone in our societies and on these streets has to end as well. We know that our Sheriff Livingston has been a big supporter of Urban Shield. We know that some of the cities in our region, like Oakland, have sent their people to be trained in other parts of the world that have encouraged manhandling and the killing of people as well. And as we come to this moment, we have to end police brutality in all of its forms. We have to demilitarize this police force, both here in Walnut Creek and in our own county. And we have to demand the fair treatment of every single person, regardless of who they are. Until we can say black lives are sacred, and not just matter. We're asking for more than just Black Lives Matter. We're asking our city and our elected officials to actually see the beauty and the divinity that we see in all people, including and especially right now in the black lives that they're taking. And so we cry out, what is it going to take for Walnut Creek to be a city for all of its citizens?
My name is Chris Williams, and I pastor a church in Brentwood, California. And I must say that it's really very moving for me as an African-American man to see a majority of people stand on a corner, not in Oakland, not in Richmond, but in Walnut Creek, and who don't look like me, declare and make a bold announcement that Black Lives Matter. It's a bit of a reverse, but yet it shows you that when something happens that is a universal problem, that it's not just about the color of our skin, but as Martin Luther King talked about, it's about the content of our character. And so allow me to say how much I appreciate you for even running the risk of some relationships. For the most important one, you know what that is. But one of the things that I've been sharing with people, and I honor B.K. Woodson and his leadership here, and Pastor Leslie and all of you who are present, but there's a movie that I was a little teenager, and I'm still a teenager, but I was more of a teenager then. And it came out in 1989. And in that movie, there was portrayed this character by the name of Radio Raheem. And the movie was called Do the Right Thing, and it portrayed a very deep level of racism in that time, which is still existing today. And at the end of that movie, there was like this montage of people who would come on the screen as the movie was ending, and they would say, wake up. And all of them would say, wake up. And one of the things that I believe is happening, and has happened over 400 years almost in America, in our country, is that we've been hearing the alarms. Every time someone dies, from Emmett Till to Greg Floyd, we've been hearing the alarms. Yeah. And the problem that America has is that we keep hearing the alarm and we push the snooze button. Yeah. We wake up for a moment, we march and we protest, yeah, and we go back to sleep. But I hope, my desire is that I feel something different about this time. And I really hope that the life of that young man that was taken because someone had their knee on his neck. I hope that that has been the very alarm that wakes America up. We can't go back to sleep on this one. We can't go back to bed on this one. We have to wake up. And when all of us can come together under a common goal and to wake up and realize that we're not going to take what's been happening any longer. It's going to take a collaborated effort. And so I want to thank you for your courage, for your love of people, that you would be present tonight, today, for this pastor, for leading this, for this mother, for allowing us to honor her daughter in this. And I just hope that that 6 months from now, that we've not gone back in reverse and we've gone back to sleep. But my hope and my prayer is that we move the agenda forward, and that we disarm and defund and take authority away from police, especially those that have racism in their hearts. As Ben McBride would say, it's time to bring the heat. Okay, that's Ben's word, not mine. But I hope that this death makes a difference in the rest of the history of America. Thank you for letting me share, and we'll be continuing to pray for you and your family.
Hi, everyone. My name is Reverend Kristen Powell. I'm the lead minister at Unity of Walnut Creek. And Pastor Chris, thank you so much. I feel very inspired by your words and moved by you being moved and all of us being here together. And on behalf of my people, of people of this color, I want to say I'm sorry. Please forgive us for our ignorance. And it's not enough even to say that, right? It's still not enough, because there is so much work for all of us to do. And it is at the level, of course, of the police force. That force of fear when it is out of control, right? But what could we be together? What are we here is a force of love. And love, it always, excuse the expression, trumps fear, right? And faith over fear, as your mask indicates. Faith can move mountains. Those are the things on which we, people of faith, even if your sense of faith is in human potential, whether it be something greater than us or inside us, it doesn't matter. We all have faith in something. We have faith in each other. We have faith in possibility. We have faith in the right thing. We have faith in our ability to overturn this kind of behavior. So yes and no, it's absolutely not okay for the kind of behavior that continues to happen through our police. And I, you know, yesterday was in Pleasant Hill, and the police chief was talking, and the mayor was talking, who just signed on with the Obama Foundation in the city of Pleasant Hill. And there, our neighboring city is 5 or 10 or 15 or 20,000 steps ahead. Why is Walnut Creek in the dark ages? I don't understand. So, thank you all for being here. Thank you for keeping the faith. Thank you for being the force of love. It is through our faith and through our love that I believe we will indeed see change, and the times are different, and there is a sense of real awakening happening now. Let's keep our finger on that button.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. I am the Reverend Ranwa Hamami, and I invite you all to join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, God of many names, that include justice, that include mercy, that include compassion. God, you who have created us in our many colors, in our many bodies, in our many faiths, to love one another, to know one another. We have failed you. We have failed in this purpose to love and know one another, to see the beauty and sacredness of every life. We have failed to see the beauty and sacredness of Black lives in particular. God of many names and no names, in this moment where we acknowledge this failure, we are crying out to one another and to you to hold ourselves accountable to the change we must make. God of many names and no name, in this moment when we are grieving, when we are angry, when we are hopeful, be with us now, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. Help us to remember not only to chant that Black Lives Matter, but to live it, to carry it through in our very souls. Black lives have always mattered to you, oh God. And it is time that we live into that truth. It is time that those behind us live into that truth. God of many names, be with us. Hold us accountable. Help us be accountable to one another so that Black lives truly matter in this world. Amen. Amen.
I want you to look around and to see the people that came out with very little notice to bear witness to the fact that we will not tolerate police brutality in our community or in our county, and to see how many lives are affected when just one person is injured by a somewhat small act of violence. Just see how many people are affected by that. I want to thank the members of the clergy who are here. We promised you all a brief gathering because we did not want this to go unnoticed, because we do not want anyone else to be injured in this time of exercising the right of expression to say that enough is enough and that we will not tolerate this kind of treatment. Tomorrow there is a witness rally here at 1 o'clock. We do not want to undercut that by going too long tonight. We are grateful to all of you for being here. But what we do want to say is that we are noticing. Oh, yes, yes, great. And we want to give you this.
Quickly say that I'm Gigi Crowder and I'm the executive director of NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, here in Contra Costa County. I'm also a proud member of FOSSET, the Friends of Scott, Alexis, and Ton Hall. What I'm passing out are ribbons. On one side is green for mental health awareness. African Americans, Black individuals have always had disparate services around mental health. So when Miles was shot and killed on June 2nd, it did not come as a great shock to me, because a lot of times when people aren't physically killed, they're spiritually killed, because they're spending the bulk of their lives incarcerated for living what we know is a medical condition. So the ribbons I'm giving out are for mental health awareness, and that's the color green. But then the black is for Black Minds Matter, okay? And then I have wristbands. We do a faith-based approach to addressing and training faith leaders to better respond to the needs of African Americans when they live with mental illness, because the system, the county systems, are failing them. We also feel very strongly that if law enforcement shoots and kills someone, they themselves are not well enough to go back to work within 12 days. They need to take care of themselves as well. And so there needs to be policies in place that when that happens, they're put on administrative leave. Sadly, those that the two that shot and killed Miles Hall went back to work within 12 days. And that means people who live with mental illness, who call my, who have loved ones who live with mental, they're scared to call the cops now. We got to do better, and we can, and it can start right here on Walnut Creek. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for
so that is what I would ask you to do. Is it is important that we are all here. It is also very important that we let people know that we write and call and we say we want different hiring practices, we want different equipment used, we want accountability when there is death,
and we also want there to be training in anti-racism for every single law official enforcement officer in this county now, absolutely now, so that no one else is injured, that no one else is killed. And with that, I want to end by honoring, we will have an interfaith vigil on Sunday night that will be available through the Interfaith Council link that we're hosting electronically. But I want to call B.K. Woodson up to end us out today. Thank you all for being here.
InterfaithCCC.org. Also, if you text HEAT, H-E-A-T, to 40649, you can sign up for all the HEAT activities that we're going. I want to thank you for coming. And just admit out loud what everyone who looks like me knows. America hates me. America hates me because of the color of my skin. Perhaps it's because my skin reminds America of its sin. But what I want you to realize, know deep in your heart, or at least just hear it from me, is that America as a system is dedicated to my destruction. And that you are connected to me, so as I am destroyed, you are destroyed. Amen. And it is the American system. Regular people like you and me become police officers, but then they become killers because the system is dedicated, the laws are dedicated to my destruction and yours. But we are at a moment. There are two stories of America, and they're fighting right now. It is the story of chattel slavery and genocide against the indigenous population. The story that if you're not white, you don't belong. That's one of America's stories. We don't say it loud, but it's one of the stories. And then there's another story. Give me your tired, your lost. Come on, come all. Come on and become and make a great melting pot and become something the world would envy. Two stories. They're fighting right now. And I am so encouraged by your presence. And my heart is broken, but I have courage that Sarah, who doesn't look anything like me, who looks like the individual that America is designed to protect, a white woman, many black men have died just because they looked at a white woman. But we are at a moment where a white woman is fighting for the lives of black men. Yes. It is a moment in America where we might make the change to adopt the story that will make us proud. It's a moment in our world. It's a moment in time unlike any other. And I pray and I hope and I join with you. And the Creator I know loves diversity. The Creator I know loves colors and different shapes, different sizes, different sounds. And if we can bring our different shapes, our different minds, our different colors together in a harmony, we can create a new world. And if we can't, we might all be lost. In the name of God Almighty, in the name of love, in the name of hope, in the name of skies clear of smoke, in the name of clean and fresh water, in the name of birds that sing in the morning, in the names of freedom and hope, in the names of children yet unborn. Amen.
Gigi Renee Crowder, and I am the executive director of NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, here in Contra Costa County. And it's my job to make sure the services are fair and equitable for all community members. So I'm here because I know that Miles Hawes was brutally killed, and that in order for us to make a difference, law enforcement has to have consequences. There's no way in the world that they should be back to work within 12 days of having executed a young man who mom did all the right things. She came into our and took all of our family-to-family classes. She followed our advice. She made contact with law enforcement, and yet still, when she called for help, the law enforcement arrived with guns and within moments killed her son. So it's really important for me to be here today because I have to share the health disparities that exist for African Americans when they're seeking services, and that there's no real cultural responsive services. So even when they get into the system is not designed to support them. So I feel like it's my responsibility. And so I go a little further and I do faith-based trainings for law enforcement, because when people are in crisis, they first turn to their faith communities for support. So African Americans in particular prefer going to a place of safety, and that's their faith community. So when I heard faith leaders were doing this, it was real important for me to come out and be a part of the solution and to share what we're trying to hoping to accomplish at NAMI, starting with being a part of the fight to find justice for Miles.
Okay, and you know, last week George Floyd, the week before that somebody else. We have a long history. Tell our listeners a little bit about Miles and the services, kind of, for those who aren't familiar with this case.
June 2nd, Miles Hall, a resident of Walnut Creek since the age of 4, was living with a severe mental health challenge, and his mom called for some support when he busted a window in the yard. Lots of times when people live with mental illness, they actually have a fixation around thinking they're Jesus, and his was no different. He was carrying a tool that a neighbor had given him that he considered a staff. And so the idea that they would shoot him and call that tool a weapon when he saw it as his protection is absurd. So the video showed that he was running away from cops. Most people live with mental illness, when they're confronted by the authorities, are pretty frightened. And we have not done the best job around CIT, crisis intervention training, to train the officers how to approach these type of situations with compassion. So in Miles' case, a poor decision was made around not waiting for the mental health expert, which they had one who was en route. And they decided that the neighborhood, I guess, property was more important. And so they intervened, and within moments he was killed by two officers who said that they feared for their life and shot and killed Miles.
June 2nd, what year was this one?
This was just last year. So we had a big anniversary, June 2nd, 2019. So we had a big anniversary with well over 500 people, because we didn't know we needed a larger Zoom capacity. Tribute to him, in which several people participated in sharing the life of Miles and what could have been had he been given the opportunity, and if we had better services for law enforcement. But I'm stuck on the fact that once someone gets killed, there's no way in the world any officer, even if it wasn't intentional, should be back to work. We need to have an investigation and look at that. I'm starting to look at the frequency of African Americans being killed as hate crimes.
It's
a hate crime. It's a hate crime.
And how hopeful are you? You know, we have this long history. In this case, the officers are back to work in 12 days.
Yes.
this last case with George Floyd, right. We saw that the police chiefs that I'm firing them, right. All four of them, and one was, they've upped the charge for one, yes. And now all the other three and are being held accountable.
I'm really excited about that. I do know that consequences is the only thing that change behaviors. You know, I feel very deserving of having a banana split every day, but the consequence would be that my waistline would be bigger, so I don't do it. So we adjust behavior in our culture of how we respond to things based on consequences. So what happened, what we saw happen nationally, was we were not okay with what happened with the sentencing, with not them not being charged initially. So what did we do? We put in place opportunity for the country to see the video and then respond. Well, the same thing, well, Miles is a native son. We should be just as angry or more about what happened to him because he got shot down because he lived with a medical condition. He hadn't committed any crime. His mom had done all the right things. We just have to do better.
Is this the first moment towards systemic change in your view? Do you think we might be at the first step of systemic change now that the whole country is together?
I think COVID-19 came with some opportunities. And our opportunities and why I think there's been such a much bigger response of allies is because we all had time to do a lot of self-reflecting about what was important. And now we know Black lives are important too. We saw the disparities for African Americans around COVID-19 as well. And so now we know, hey, wait a minute. We got to do better as a community. And so that's why I came today, and that's why I'm so pleased to see all the other folks that are here.
Thank you so much. Can I get a couple of bracelets from you?
Definitely.
I'll take one for each of my children.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, and for me. Thank
and
you so much.
Black minds matter.
Oh, I love it. Too. Yeah, thank you.
My sister would like a ribbon.
Thanks, Gigi.
Okay, thanks, Will. Oh, thanks so much for doing this.
My name is Linda Russell, African-American woman on the planet almost 65 years, and this is long overdue. I live in Pleasant Hill, go to church here in Walnut Creek, and I'm just really grateful for community and for my faith community and for an opportunity to show up and, remind folks that, yeah, black lives do matter.
So we often see cases, as we've even talked about a few today, where officers might have a temporary paid administrative leave, and they might or might not get charged, they might get acquitted. Once in a while, they're held mildly accountable. Mm. In this case, we have the officer who kneeled on the neck, charged, but the charge has been upped, and the other three are also being charged for aiding and abetting a murder. Mm-hmm. How much hope does this give you as it being a step toward systemic change?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. So on the one hand, I think the thing that we're seeing around the country and it's expressed here tonight is that sense of, we need to keep this moving. This can't be a situation where we just, come out, hit the streets, have all this support, and then kind of go back into our old naivete as a country. I also have a lot of hope when I see the growing number of people that are willing to wake up, that are willing to stay woke, and that are willing to also step back and say, what do you need, as opposed to telling us what we need.
Anything else you want to add?
As a therapist, as a psychotherapist, one of the things that's really important for me is for folks to understand that there's multiple impact in the situations that we've been seeing. So we are seeing, folks with mental health issues who the police do not know how to handle. And I am very much, I would actually like to be a part of helping folks understand when they're approaching people with mental health issues. And then I'm also aware that, and then there's that added layer that if it's a black or brown person with the mental health issues, that frequently comes into play before everything else. And then then the message is totally lost. And so we have to address all of these inequities.
One more question for you. I know most people wouldn't want to waste their time trying to talk to Donald Trump because he's not very open, right? And he's sharing some very harmful rhetoric in many ways. What would you say to him, assuming you could get him to listen, about any of the things and the messages and the possible deployment of military and really messages of division as opposed to unity?
You know what? There's only the only thing I can think of to say to him is he is on the wrong side of history.
So my name is Mary Kelly Persine. I live in San Francisco, and I go to church at MDUC. And I came, I mean, in the most specific sense, I came here because Reverend Leslie asked me to. And she asked me to do something, I'm going to do it. So that's it. I've been working on civil rights issues for about 20 years. So I'm a lawyer. I'm also someone who is trained in literature. I work for an education nonprofit. And so my work has really been in this area, like for most of my professional life.
Unfortunately, we've all seen the video of George Floyd's last.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't?
No.
Okay.
I will not.
So I was gonna. So you didn't get to see what he.
I know that he that there was a knee that the person the cop knelt on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to share it. I share a picture of George Floyd as he was in life, as he was with his family. Same with Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. All of those folks, I will not share the pictures of them being killed, or I just won't.
And at the same time, though, we know that without that video footage, there probably wouldn't be charges
Absolutely.
Against the officers.
And the 17-year-old girl who filmed that really needs support, and I hope that she's getting good mental health and other support, because that poor girl stood there for almost 10 minutes and filmed a person being lynched. That's what it was. We need to be honest about what happened to George Floyd. He was lynched. That is a form of domestic terrorism, and it's done for a very specific purpose. It's about power, control, and terror, and it always has been, and that's exactly what we saw.
And lastly, what are you going to do going forward to continue being an ally to people, specifically Black Americans?
Well, so the first thing that I do in my own life, my own professional life, is to boost the voices of Black women leaders and to follow them whenever I can, be their wingwoman, like back up and make sure that they are speaking and that I'm supporting them in doing that. I put Black women on my board of directors whenever I can. I do anything I can to center their voices because they're the ones who know what we need to do in this moment. So that's part of it. What else am I going to be doing? I had something I was going to tell you. I mean,
you're here today.
I teach my children. I have two 13-year-old girls. I teach them all the time. There was something else. Oh, police reform. I just wanted to say that there's like a couple of really important things that people need to be advocating for in terms of police reform. One is an end to qualified immunity. Very important to end qualified immunity, and then very important to make sure that police brutality and wrongful death claims get paid out of police union funds and not out of the taxpayer fisc or out of the city or county funds. That is a way to, I think, pretty quickly curb a lot of the violence that we see. And we need like a list of things that are prohibited. Like, for example, it's very hard for me to believe that kneeling on a person's neck is a form of police conduct that is actually in the manual. I don't believe that, and rubber bullets cannot be shot at anyone above the waist. So what happened to Sarah Tuning was also not in the police manual. There's a lot of other things that are actually part of training and part of regular conduct that need to be eliminated. So the police reform, that there's an actual platform that's put out and signed by 400 civil rights organizations. You can find it on the website of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. So those are the voices that we need to follow in terms of the demands for reform that we really need to make.
Great. Anything else?
Black Lives Matter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.